You will go to the book of James, please, chapter 4. We will look into God's Word together and pray that God will bless us and grow us through His Word this morning. James chapter 4, and beginning in verse 6, please. The Bible says, "But He giveth more grace. Wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep, that your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up." So the title of the message is, "He giveth more grace." Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to open your word together this morning, and we pray the Holy Spirit will work miracles in our hearts through the powerful word of God. We are thankful for your grace. And as we contemplate it this morning, may we be even more thankful, and may it be our desire, Lord, to utilize that grace to serve you with all of our hearts. So we thank you for this morning and this service, and pray the Holy Spirit would guide and be in control, and our Savior would be magnified through it. We pray this in the name of our wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Grace. It's a word we hear a lot. It primarily means favor or God's blessing. But we live in what's referred to as the age of grace. The Bible tells us in John chapter 1 that the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. When Jesus came, He brought in a new age, the age of grace, in which we live, and praise God we do. You've often heard me say this, if we had to choose which age to live in, this would be the one, the age of grace. Because the next age is the tribulation. You wouldn't want to live in that one. And the previous ones were the law and so forth. But this is the age of grace. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 3 said that he brought in the dispensation of the grace of God. That is the dispensation in which we live. And he even referred to the gospel that we preach as the gospel of the grace of God in Acts chapter 20, verse 24. So this is the age of grace, and we are saved by grace. Right? Amen. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." We don't get saved because we deserve to be saved. We get saved because our God is a gracious God and gives us the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Savior. And so as we talk about grace this morning, he says here, "He giveth more grace." I'm primarily talking to Christians. God has available to us, and I mentioned this briefly to the men on Friday night, this infinite reservoir of grace, of God's favor, of God's blessing. And it's up to us to tap into that grace to be the Christian God wants us to be. The grace is there. The grace is available. But as James explained in this passage, if our hearts aren't where they need to be, then the grace isn't going to be there for us to accomplish what God wants us to accomplish. It starts with humility. Did you notice that in verse 6? "Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble." God hates pride. We're told in the Old Testament that pride is an abomination to the Lord. He hates it. It was the root sin of the devil when he fell. And he passed it on to us. And God hates pride. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 18:12, "Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility." And if you would look at Matthew 23, Jesus talked about humility. And what God is telling us is if we want the grace of God upon our lives, to live the lives that God wants us to live, we must come to God with a humble spirit, with an attitude of complete humility, that we are sinful man and God is a holy God, and that we don't deserve His grace. And that needs to be our attitude. Notice Jesus says in Matthew 23, verse 12, "Whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted." That's Jesus speaking. He says if we want God to lift us up, as we read there in James 4:10, we must humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord. God giveth more grace. But He gives more grace to the humble. Secondly, we see back in our passage, James chapter 4, verse 7, not only do we have to come to God with the spirit of humility, but also a spirit of submission. He says there in verse 7, submit yourselves therefore to God. The Christian life is a life of submission. We're all to submit to God. Wives are to submit to their husbands. Husbands are to submit to Christ. It's all about submission. We're to be submissive to the laws of the land. But we're to be submissive to God. You know, many Christians, they want to treat God like a vending machine. You've heard me say this before. God, I just need this, 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 and thank you very much. And yet they want to see God answer those things while not living an obedient Christian life. It doesn't work like that. God wants His children to be submissive, to have an attitude of submission, an attitude of wanting to obey the Word of God. If you would look at Hebrews chapter 12, God explains this a bit further, this attitude of submission that He wants us to have. Do we have an attitude of submission and humility unto the Lord? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 9, the Bible says, furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? Should we not much rather be in subjection unto God, the Heavenly Father? He's saying we submit ourselves to our own parents, but we won't submit ourselves to our God. That's because we're rebels at heart. But He giveth more grace. But that grace is limited by us if we're not submissive, if we're not humble. James says in James 1:25, whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So there's that obedience, that submission, and the blessing that follows. So God giveth more grace, and we limit that if we're not humble, if we're prideful. We limit that if we're not submissive, but we're rebellious. But also, He says in verse 7 of our passage in James 4, resist the devil and he will flee from you. The devil's real. The devil is strong. Jesus is stronger. Amen. How do we resist the devil? Well, the Bible teaches us through the example of Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 4 that we have a sword. Amen. It's called the sword of the Spirit, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17. When the devil tempted Jesus after being in the desert fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, every time the devil tempted Christ, all he did was say, "It is written," and quote scripture. And then the devil left. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We must be students of the word, so that when the devil does come, we have the tools to resist. And those tools are found in here. This book is powerful. More powerful than we can understand. It does have the power to resist the devil. But we must utilize that power. It's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, we're told. So if we want the grace of God, if we want even more grace, God says resist the devil. Be humble in your attitude. Be submissive in your attitude toward the Lord. Resist the devil. And then He says in verse 8, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Amen. Look at Hebrews chapter 4, if you would. The Bible talks about God's throne. And if you're a born-again Christian, the Bible teaches that you have access to that throne because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Just like in the Old Testament, the high priest couldn't go into the Holy of Holies unless he had first been prepared with blood. We cannot enter the Holy of Holies, which is the presence of Almighty God, without the blood of Jesus Christ. We're just not allowed. But once we are saved, we have access. And the Bible says, verse 15 of Hebrews 4, we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Now look at the next verse. Let us therefore... What's that mean? Because we have a high priest, because Jesus paid the price. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of what? Grace. The throne of grace. That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The throne of grace. God refers to His own throne as the throne of grace. The throne of His favor and His blessing in our lives. And the Bible says if we will draw nigh to God, He will draw nigh to us. If we will seek Him, He will come closer to us. The Bible says to pray without ceasing. The Bible says you shall search for me and find me. We shall seek for me with all your strength. God wants us to seek after Him. Jesus said, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. In John 15:7. God wants us to draw closer to Him every day, closer and closer and closer, to get on our knees and spend time with our Heavenly Father, our best friend who loves us. Draw nigh to Him. And what's He say? He'll draw nigh to us. And He giveth more grace. So four things He showed us already. We must come with an attitude of humility. We must come with an attitude of submission. Otherwise, we will limit that grace. We must resist the devil, and we must draw nigh to God. He finishes the last one, verse 8. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Repentance. Just raise your hand if you never sin. Okay, just checking. That means we have sin to deal with. You can't come to God and want more grace if you haven't dealt with the sin. The Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. In Psalm 66:18. We must always be dealing with our sin, repenting of our sin, confessing our sin. As He says, cleansing our hands, purifying our hearts. That only happens as we come to God and confess and repent. If you would look at Psalm 51, David understood this principle after he sinned with Bathsheba and God punished him. David came to God with this attitude of repentance, and God blessed him for it. And praise God, He allowed David to write it down for our benefit. But notice verse 10 of Psalm 51. The Bible says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Now look at verse 17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, Thou wilt not despise. God wants us to come to Him with a repentant, broken heart over our sin. And He giveth more grace. Now, He finishes there in verse 10 of our passage, James 4, by saying, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up." Again, God has this infinite reservoir of His grace. There's grace there for when we die. You've heard of dying grace. How do you read about people in the Fox's Book of Martyrs able to die with such dignity and praising God as they're being burnt at the stake? How's that possible? That's grace. But we need living grace. Day by day, the grace of God to be poured upon us that we might live the life He wants us to live. And He's shown us here, if we'll come to Him with that right attitude, of humility and submission and repentance, we'll resist the devil and draw nigh to God, He giveth more grace. Notice, if you would, Romans chapter 5, where God talks more about this. That the day we got saved, we were given access to God's grace. Notice verse 2. The Bible says, "By whom also we have access by faith," look at this next phrase, "into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Access by faith. When we got saved, we were given access into grace. Now look at verse 20. The Bible says, "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound." Isn't that beautiful? God is saying there's no sin too great, no sin too many that's greater than God's grace. Grace abounded greater. And then, of course, if you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the Apostle Paul learned about this grace when he came to God and asked Him to remove his thorn. He really believed that this thorn was hindering his ministry. He could be more effective for God if he didn't have this thorn in his life. And look at what God's answer was. Verse 8, this is Paul. He says, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me." So this is 2 Corinthians 12:8. Paul came to God three times and asked God to remove the thorn. And notice God's answer in verse 9. "And He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for My strength is made perfect in weakness." God says, "Paul, you don't need the thorn removed. You need more grace. And My grace is sufficient. You just need to rely on it. You need to lean on it. You need to tap into My grace and you can handle the thorn." And God never took it away. And Paul learned that God wanted him to serve with the thorn, because it was good for him. Kept him humble. Kept him reliant upon the Lord. It's the same with us. When we get saved, does God make us rich and take away all of our health problems and that's it? No. It doesn't work like that. We actually have more trials after we're saved, because God uses those trials to refine and conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. But now we have the grace of God to go through the trials where we didn't before. He giveth more grace. And then if you look at 1 Peter 4:10, this last passage this morning, I want you to see that God even explains that we are stewards of His grace. So how's that possible? Well, we're stewards of everything that we possess, essentially. You know, we claim that we own a home, but we don't really. God owns it. We're just stewards. We claim that we have a car. Not really, it's God's. We just are stewards. And we could go on and on. We're just stewards of we're stewards of the air that we breathe. God owns it all. He says, "The beasts of the forest are mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills." He even owns us. He owns our body. He owns our spirit. He owns everything that we see, touch, feel, think about. He owns it all. We're just stewards. We're stewards of our children. We're stewards of our gifts. We're stewards of our abilities. We're stewards of everything, but we're also stewards of God's grace. Look at 1 Peter 4:10. "As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." How can be a steward of grace? Well, again, because there's an infinite amount available, but God wants us to utilize as much as we can of His grace and be a good steward of it. In other words, to get as much as we can to live for God. But then that falls back on us. Are we drawing nigh to God? Are we resisting the devil? Are we coming to God with this attitude of repentance and humility and submission? So that with Paul, we can say, His grace is sufficient. I can get through this trial. I can be what God wants me to be. I can serve God. I can be a witness. I can be that kind of Christian that God wants me to be, because He giveth more grace. I can do it because God can do it. Amen? And we can. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me, the Bible says in Philippians 4:13. Why is that? Because He giveth more grace. So God's desire is that we live His grace. We read there in Romans 5 that we have access into His grace. That happened at salvation. It was His grace that saved us. And it's His grace that will guide us and strengthen us and help us along the way. But God wants us to be that prepared vessel that can receive as much grace as possible so that we might serve God the way He wants us to. Now again, none of this is available if you're not saved. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. As I quoted earlier, the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. We're not saved because we're better than anyone else. We're saved because God paid the price of our sin. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So God paid the price of our sin and offers us eternal life as a gift. And when we get saved, we're saved because our God's a gracious God. And through His grace, He gives us salvation. But we must receive the gift. We must admit we're sinners. We must admit that Jesus Christ is our only hope and ask Him to save us. And that's when we're born again. Once that happens, as we read there, we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Now we have access to this infinite reservoir of God's amazing grace. You ever heard that song before? That we can live for Christ. But again, it falls on us. Paul, after God told him that, my grace is sufficient, he said, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. His attitude completely changed. He said, I'm going to stop complaining about my problems and start thanking God for my problems. Which is what he did. And God blessed him with grace. He giveth more grace. Are we living the grace of God day by day? Maybe not. Maybe we're limiting the grace of God through our own behavior. And that falls on us. But I hope that we could learn to live this great truth that He giveth more grace. Let's pray.